Welcome to the Career Accelerator, the podcast where corporate managers will find tips and tools to deliver results through others.
Hello, I'm your host, Coach Percy Cannon. Today, you will hear several insights related to the Go-Giver philosophy, which can help you accelerate your career growth within the corporate world. For this, we have a very special guest, my friend and mentor, Bob Berg. Bob is an in-demand speaker at company leadership and sales conferences, sharing the platform with everyone from today's business leaders and broadcast personalities to even a former U.S. president. Bob is the author of a number of books on sales, marketing, and influence, with total book sales of well over 1 million copies. His book, The Go-Giver, co-authored with John David Mann, itself has sold over 950,000 copies, and it has been translated into 28 languages. His and John's newest parable of the Go-Giver series is The Go-Giver Influencer. Bob is an advocate, supporter, and defender of the free enterprise system, believing that the amount of money one makes is directly proportional to how many people they serve. He is also an unapologetic animal fanatic and is a past member of the board of directors of Furry Friends Adoption Clinic and Ranch in his town of Jupiter, Florida. Hi, Bob. How are you doing today?
Hi, Percy. Doing great. It's really fantastic to be with you.
Thank you, Bob, for accepting my invitation to participate in this podcast. I'd like to start by asking you to tell us, what is the premise of the Go-Giver book that you see applied to a corporate environment?
You know, it's a great question because it's always so important to begin with a premise. And it's really that shifting your focus, and that's really where it begins, shifting your focus from getting to giving. And when we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing immense value to others. And understanding that doing so is not only a pleasant way of conducting business, it's actually the most financially profitable way as well. And, you know, not for some way out there woo-woo type of reasons, it actually makes very logical sense. When you're that person, when you're that team member who is able to move your focus off of yourself and place it onto bringing value to others, those within the organization, those you need to serve, you know, people feel good about you. People, they want to get to know you. They like you. They begin to trust you. They want to be in relationship with you. And they're much more likely to be there for you as you rise along the corporate ladder and do your job on a daily basis.
Yes, yes. And how can a corporate manager make this switch, you know, this mindset switch from what's in it for me to what's in it for them, you know, them being the other people they work with?
I think in terms of making the switch, it's first understanding the importance of doing so. Because if you don't see any issue with the way you're doing something now, you're obviously not going to look to change it, right? So it's first, you know, coming to a decision that the way I'm doing things now, and this is, again, assuming a person is doing it in a very I-focused, me-first type of way, what we would call a go-taker as opposed to a go-giver, that it begins with them realizing, hey, I may have achieved some success, I may have achieved some real legitimate success, but I know I'm not going as far as I want or as quickly as I want. Things just don't seem to be happening. And you know, it's like Marshall Goldsmith talked about in his book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There, right? You know, I've gotten to where I am by doing certain things or even in spite of certain things. So now, you know, I need to make a shift. And, you know, once someone learns about why the principles in the Go-Giver are so much more beneficial to them as well as to those they work with, then they're more likely to then take those actions, which we enumerate through the five laws in order to make that shift.
I understand. And now that you mentioned the five laws, would you be so kind to just give us a quick review of what these five laws are?
Sure. The five laws themselves are the laws of value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. Law number one, the law of value, says your true worth, in the business sense, of course, is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Now, if we were going to do this in terms of an entrepreneur or a salesperson, we'd say that the value of their product or service, and value simply being the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, idea that brings so much worth to another person that they will willingly exchange their money for it? And we'd say, well, you've got to provide such a value-based experience, even over and above the product or service itself, that this person feels they receive much more in value than what they paid, while you, of course, make a profit. This is one reason why when I speak at a sales conference, I'll often begin by saying nobody's going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet, right? They're not going to buy from you because you need the money, and they're not going to buy from you because you're a really nice person. They're going to buy from you only because they believe they'll be better off by doing so than by not doing so. So how does this apply to someone in corporate management? Well, you know, just like no one's going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet or need the money, no one's going to hire you and keep you on because you have a mortgage payment to make. They're going to do so only because they believe they're receiving more in productivity, what have you, in value than what they're paying you in salary. Okay, so what that does is it means that just like the entrepreneur must be focused on bringing immense value to their customer, you as that corporate manager must be focused on bringing immense value to your employer. Now, it may not be directly to your employer. It's probably more indirect through the people you report to, the people who you lead, people in other departments who you collaborate with, and or whomever else it might be. But you've got to continually, so instead of being entrepreneurial, you're actually intrapreneurial, right? You're entrepreneurial within another organization, which is fine. But it's still a matter of constantly and consistently providing immense value to everyone you work with. That's law number one, yeah. The law of value.
Yes, thank you. I want to connect with your previous comment about the switch of mindset from what's in it for me to what's in it for them. Is that how it works, that this person inside the corporate world will be able to add value to the other people inside the corporation by trying to think about what is of value to the other person?
Exactly. Okay. And that's such a perfect point. And that's why you're such a great coach. And we love, you know, we love referring you, and we love learning from you during our meetings. That's exactly it. And, you know, value is always in the eyes of the beholder. It's not what we believe is of value or what we think they should believe is of value that counts. It's what they believe is of value. And of course, we only discover that by asking questions. And then listening and making sure we're seeing it from their viewpoint, really getting into their head, their mind, their heart in a good way, in a positive way, in order to be able to understand what that person finds to be of value.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Can you tell us about the second law, the law of compensation? Maybe you can share with us an example of how that would apply to a manager in the corporate world.
Sure. Well, the law number two, the law of compensation, says your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So again, in the entrepreneurial world, it would be you're simply finding more people to serve. And as you serve more people with the value you provide, assuming you're making a profit with each sale, with each new customer, you'll obviously make a lot more money. Now, in the corporate world, it's a little bit different because you are probably not working on commission. What it is this. It's on a, I guess you could say, a larger scale. In other words, the more people within your organization, the organization with which you're employed, the more people whose lives you're touching directly or indirectly with the immense value you provide, the more valuable you're making yourself to those in leadership. Okay? And the more they're going to see you as someone who they want to advance and they want to promote.
So that's how you could actually accelerate your career growth, right?
Exactly. And you know, your goal is to, again, provide immense value to everyone whose lives you touch and expand that value to, you know, to more people.
Thank you. Very clear. Can we go now to the next law, for which I understand you have written a book also, The Go-Giver Influencer. So can you tell us a little bit more about it, please?
Well, yeah, the law of influence from The Go-Giver says that your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. We also, took that to the extreme level and wrote an entire parable about that as well. But the basic law that said, and it's sort of counterintuitive, right? Your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Yet you think about it, Percy, the greatest leaders you know, the top influencers, and I would also go on to say the most successful salespeople, top money-earning salespeople, this is simply how they run their lives and conduct their businesses. They're always looking out for that other person's interest, for that other person's benefit. This is the level 5 leader that Jim Collins talks about in his book, Good to Great. Now, when we say place the other person's interest first or place other people's interest first, we certainly don't mean you should ever be anyone's doormat or a martyr or self-sacrificial in any way. Absolutely not at all. It's simply as Joe, the protagonist in the story, learned from several of the mentors, the golden rule of business is that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And a referral doesn't just mean in terms of a sale or business. It means you've got an army of personal walking ambassadors who feel so good about you, who want to be in relationship with you, who want to, to tell people about you. And again, it's tempting to think, well, but not everybody is going to appreciate it. No, of course not. This is real life and not everybody does, but enough do. And that's why what you want to do is rather than be on the competitive plane, you want to kind of stay as much as you can on the creative plane. Stay on the creative plane. If you're focused on creating value for others, and for lots of others, and you're doing it through actually placing their interests first. Again, not in a self-sacrificial way, simply in a way that benefits everyone concerned, but your focus is on them. And if you can move from that, as Sam, one of the mentors in the story, told Joe, if you can move from an I focus or a me focus to an other focus, looking to make your win all about the other person's win, that's when you've got people on your side. That's when you've got people partnering with you and pulling for you. And again, being your personal walking ambassador.
Thank you, Bob. I want to ask you, within the Go-Giver Influencer book, there was one element, I think, or one characteristic that you mentioned in there, which was to step into other person's shoes. Can you please elaborate on that and how you think that could be applied to the corporate world?
Yeah, it has to do with what we call the clash of belief systems, which basically just means that people see the world from their own unique viewpoints. What is a belief? Well, a belief is a subjective truth, right? Which means it's not necessarily the truth. Right? It's your truth or it's my truth, which sometimes is the truth, but often it isn't. But it is how we see the world. We our belief system is a combination of upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, television shows, everything. But it tends to be pretty much etched in stone by the time we're little more than toddlers. And of course, we didn't take in this information voluntarily. It got handed to us and it formed our basic beliefs, our way of basically seeing the world. And Percy, most people, they grow up and live their entire lives unaware of this dynamic. And they're pretty much controlled by, what I call your unconscious operating system, right? Thinking you're operating out of choice, but really it's within a matrix, if you will, of certain rules and laws. Again, it's the belief system. A wonderful book that I think explains this better than anything was written in 1960 by Dr. Maxwell Maltz called Psycho-Cybernetics. Psycho-Cybernetics just means mind machine, and how the way we see the world ultimately controls our, you know, our thoughts, our feelings, our actions. Well, anyway, so that, so let's go back to stepping into that other person's shoes and able to, in order to understand them, right? And we think, well, step in the other person's shoes. We've all heard that saying. It's an old saying, but, and it sounds kind of easy to do until you think about it and you realize that most of us have different sized feet. So literally, we really can't step into the other person's shoes. Figuratively, we can't step into their heads. We can't step into their hearts. Why? Well, we're not them. We haven't been brought up with the same exact belief system, sometimes not even anything close. So the question then is, well, so how do you do it? How do you step into their world? How do you step into their shoes? Well, you ask questions. And this is what great leaders do, okay? And great managers and great team members. They ask questions of others, and then they listen, but they also make sure that as they listen, they're not listening in order to judge, listening really putting aside any of their preconceived, already held beliefs. Now, it's not always easy to do. This takes consciousness. This takes work. But boy, once you do it and you start asking and simply listening and listening to understand, well, a couple things happen. One is you really have stepped into their shoes. You can see the world from their viewpoint. Secondly, this person feels heard. They feel listened to. And it's such a basic element of human nature to want to feel listened to, want to feel understood by another human being. And when that happens, the trust they have in you just really, really grows and takes hold.
Thank you, Bob. You know, as I was listening to your explanation, my mind went back to the old school of influencing by mandating, by telling, you know, the top-down approach. What you're saying here is actually go the other way around, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's so interesting you say that, because for all the books out there, some great books by fantastic leaders. I think of Bob Chapman, the CEO of Barry Waymiller, which is a humongous manufacturing company. And you think, you know, if it's such a commodity what they produce. And you think if any kind of company is going to work from a top down command and control compliance, but it would be them. And yet what he has done, and again, his book is Everybody Matters. And that's exactly how he sees his team members. And they feel as though they matter because they do. And he's got a very, very loyal company, you know, of employees. And his company is very, very profitable. And it got more profitable once he moved from that original top-down type of management, which is what he had learned, like most other people do, to then going with a employees first type of attitude, type of focus. So, you know, and there's many books out there. David Marquet, Turn the Ship Around, wrote a great book on that. And there's so many others, too numerous to mention. But you would think that so many leaders and managers would understand that. And of course, many do. But many don't, right? And we still hear and we read these reports that talk about 75% of the workforce, you know, feeling disengaged at work. And it makes you wonder, why in the world are people still operating from that, you know, 1850s, 1870s industrial revolution type of system?
Yeah, I agree. Let's go to the next law, to the fourth law, the law of authenticity. Can you please explain the benefits of being authentic inside a highly competitive workforce?
Yeah, well, the fourth law, the law of authenticity, says the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. In the story, one of the mentors, Deborah, she had shared a lesson she learned, and that was all the skills in the world, the sales skills, the technical skills, the people skills, as important as they are, and they all certainly are, they're also all for naught if you don't come at it from your true, authentic core. But when you do, when you, as we like to say, Percy, when you show up as yourself, day after day, week after week, month after month, people feel very comfortable with you. People feel safe with you. They tend to really trust you, because with consistency, which is a function of authenticity, there is more trust. Need for consistency goes back to the cave person days, when every day was a fight to get through the day, just to survive the day. So it was so important back then that there was consistency in the world. The sounds in the distance had to mean the same thing, as did the bent twigs and the footprints in the mud, right? Things had to mean the same thing. Well, we certainly don't have that survival challenge these days, but that kind of got hardwired into our DNA. And so when we see someone who is consistent and who is authentic, we have much more trust in them. Trust is a huge differentiator when it comes to getting to that next level of success. And I'd say, well, but if I'm myself, aren't people going to see me coming? And, well, remember, there's always people that do bad things, right? Yes. It's real world. And of course, we have to be aware of them. But no, we don't change who we are because there are some scoundrels in the world. Okay. We operate from our authentic core. Now, I also want to say something about this that I think is very important, because I see it misunderstood a lot. Being authentic doesn't mean, well, that's just who I am, take it or leave it. I mean, that's called being obnoxious. That's not right. That's not really going to get a person that far if their goal is to advance and actually have people who like them, right? But it's like the person who says, well, I have anger issues and I yell a lot, and if I were to do anything differently, that wouldn't be authentic. Well, that's baloney. That's malarkey. It simply means that person has an authentic problem that they need to work on in order to authentically grow and become a higher, more effective, authentic version of themselves. So it's very important that we never use authenticity as an excuse for staying where we are. We use it as inspiration to grow higher and really fulfill our authentic potential.
Thank you for that clarification. Can you tell us about the fifth law, the law of receptivity? Bob, isn't there a risk in just giving and never receiving anything back?
Well, I think there are two questions there. So let's take the first one. And that is, what really is the law of receptivity? And this simply means, and what that says is, the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. And this really, Percy, means nothing more than the realization that you breathe out and you also have to breathe in. It's not one or the other, right? We breathe out carbon dioxide, we breathe in oxygen. We breathe out, which is giving. We breathe in, which is receiving. Giving and receiving are not opposite concepts, despite the messages of lack and anti-prosperity that we receive from the world around us, okay? Giving and receiving are two sides of the very same coin, actually, and they work in tandem. It's not a matter of, are you a giver or a receiver? No, you're a giver and a receiver. But what you understand is that the giving comes first. That's how life is. We sow before we reap. We don't go to the fireplace and say, give me some heat, and then I'll throw on some logs and some newspaper and light a match and so forth. No, of course not. We don't go to the bank teller to open an account and say, first, give me an interest payment, and then I'll make a deposit. No, of course not. Life doesn't work that way. We give value first. We give value to others. We touch the lives, hopefully, of a lot of people with that value. We place their interests first because that's why they're going to do business with us. We do it from an authentic base, and then we allow ourselves to receive. Now, in terms of the question, is there a fear of giving and not receiving? Well, I mean, generally speaking, the more you give, the more you're going to receive. That doesn't mean you're going to receive from every person to whom you give, because that's also not the way life works. But to the degree that you give and you're giving value to everyone whose lives you touch, well, that's the degree to which you have created what we call benevolent context for success. And again, there's nothing magical or mystical about it. It just makes sense. The more you focus on bringing value to others, the more you place yourself in the position where people are going to want to bring value to you.
Thank you for the clarification. And I remember reading this in one of your books called, it's like another, I guess, additional law, which was the law of left field.
Right.
Can you share that with us, please? What is that about?
What the law of left field says is the greatest gifts will come to you at moments and from places you least expect. But what happens is, you know, we've all had that situation where this great, you know, opportunity for something came to us and it just dropped into our lap, or some incalculably valuable thing came our way, but not from the people or places we might have expected. And you may have said to yourself, wow, you know, that one came right out of left field, right? Well, you know, Percy, when operating with a giving spirit, which again, simply means you're focused on creating value for others, great value comes to you suddenly and unexpectedly, and often in amounts far greater than what anyone owes you. But here's the thing, and again, this is very important to understand. There's nothing magical about it. There's nothing mystical about it. You've planted so many seeds of goodwill, of great will. You know, so many people know you, like you, trust you, want to be a part of your life, want to be a part of your success. The world has become a benevolent context for your success. And so long as you are willing to plant those seeds and nurture them, yeah, that success is going to come to you. Now, when we say law of left field, it means we think, well, it came out of nowhere, right? But really, it didn't. It came from everywhere. It came from everywhere because it really came from all those wonderful seeds of great will that you've continued to plant.
So true. How can our podcast listeners learn more about available GoGiver programs?
The best way really, Percy, is just to go to burg.com. And they can really scroll down the website. There's a lot of resources for them, including a video blog that we usually put out twice a week. They can also read chapters, excerpts of the various books to see if they like where any of them are headed. And if they do, they can always click through to Amazon.com.
Great. Do you have any closing remarks you would like to share with our audience?
Well, you know, I mean, I think it really all comes back to that if you want to advance yourself, look at how you can advance others. And to the degree that you advance others, and again, not in a self-sacrificial way, that's not what I'm talking about at all, but to the degree that you can add value, bring value to other people, that is, and do this constantly and consistently, that's the degree that you are going to advance yourself.
Great, thank you. The one key message that I am taking away from you is that in order to become a go-giver, a corporate manager has to move away from looking for what's in it for me and adopt the go-giver mindset of what's in it for them, them being every other person they work with. Did I get it right?
It's perfect. Spot on. Well, Percy, you are the ultimate embodiment of a go-giver, so it makes total sense that you would get it right.
Thank you, Bob, for accepting my invitation to participate in this podcast. I hope you, as part of our podcast followers, enjoyed today's episode. For the next one, we will cover a special tip on how to deliver results through your boss. If you like what you heard today, and depending on the platform you're using, let me ask you to please rate, subscribe, or follow this podcast and share it with your coworkers and friends. Also, you can visit my website at canon.consulting, or if available in this platform, use any of the links provided in the details section to download the transcript of today's episode, access the resources mentioned today by Bob Burg, ask questions, suggest topics of interest, request a free consultation call with me, and connect on LinkedIn. This is Coach Percy Cannon, working to help you make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Thank you for listening to the Career Accelerator, the podcast where corporate managers will find tips and tools to deliver results through others. Stay tuned for our next episode.